Pat O'Connor is president of Minor League Baseball, and Pat O'Connor joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. Pat, thanks so much for doing this. I'm sure I'm about the 14th person today to ask you this, but what the hell are you guys doing to my game?
Well, we're bringing it into the 21st century, Jeff. And,
okay.
And I heard your intro, and I have to admit, I was, 18 months ago, I was right where you just claimed to be.
Okay.
And I listened to baseball people. I listened to our business people. I looked at anecdotally, the fan interest. When you start a game with 5,000 and end an extra inning game with 300 to 500. The fans aren't enjoying that, or they would stick around. But more than anything, Jeff, I think this is a player development issue for us. When you think about what extra innings does, one, to the game you're in, the longer it goes, basically the baseball deteriorates. The game
okay.
itself deteriorates. You're getting deeper into your bullpen. Not only are you going to mess up tomorrow night, you're going to mess up Friday night and Saturday night because you've gone so deep into your – and, oh, by the way, we might have to pitch the second baseman to finish tonight. So it was that – and then when you create that grain on your pitching staff, and we're talking about young developing arms in most cases.
Right.
We have to move players throughout the entire system. The Blue Jays may have to move players from AA to AAA, from A-ball to AAA, just to have a young man sit up there just in case, because they don't have that much excess inventory that they can just have spare parts. So there's this inefficiency, and there's this interruption in some players' routines and their development. So that's the baseball side. The game itself, extra innings, I've talked to the one guy that really swung my mind, Jeff, was when I talked to Joe Torre about it.
Okay.
He says, extra innings, everybody's trying to hit home runs. The baseball's not that good, and I've messed my bullpen up. And then I went to my operators and my owners and my executives. They said, look, Pat, we quit selling beer in the seventh inning. The only thing that goes on in the 11th, 12th, and 13th inning, the only thing that keeps ticking is my labor cost and my light bill.
Okay.
My fans are leaving. There is no business case for me to stick around. So when we looked at it and we consulted with our partners at Major League Baseball, this was an idea to try. And I didn't stop at baseball, Jeff. I indirectly got to Commissioner Bettman. I said, when you switched to 3-on-3 and shootouts and all that, what happened? He said, well, when everybody's hair that caught on fire was put out, we have found it to be a much more exciting event for our hockey fans. You look at what the NFL did with overtime,
mm-hmm.
the NCAA with overtime. We're dealing, and I had a young man send me a note that I hate that my generation with a 7-second attention span is ruining the game. But the reality of it is that the fans that we please, and you have to understand that minor league baseball is less about the athleticism and more about the social experience while we develop next generation of major league stars. There was a case to be made to try this. And so we consulted internally. It was not mandated by Major League Baseball or me, and this is something that some leagues have embraced enthusiastically, some somewhat more skeptically, but they're all in, and we're going to give it a run in 2018.
I mean, I got to tell you that, honest to God, I'm not just saying this because you're on the air. That is the best economic defense I've heard for this move, or for any move when the extra innings thing first came out. It's the first time I've had someone make an economic argument to me, and I can't argue with that because you're absolutely right. As someone who's gone to minor league games, I've got to tell you, I don't leave major league games in extra innings, and this is no reflection of minor leagues, but if I'm at a minor league game and it's gone extra innings, around the 10th inning, I'm kind of thinking maybe I should get in the car. And it's an interesting economic argument because it makes sense to me, and you're absolutely right. The only thing that's ticking are the labor costs. And I had not thought of that before.
and look, we have to keep our security. We have to keep a certain amount of people on. We've got to keep scorekeepers and announcers. And, now we have these fancy electronic jumbotrons, Jeff, and it takes 8 people to run them.
Mm-hmm.
So, and again, I'm not dismissing that this is flies directly in the face of the tradition of baseball. But what we are finding is our fans, you know, they're there more for the total fan experience. Minor league baseball is an experiential game.
Right.
If my teams tell me, you know, we didn't win enough games and I didn't make any money, they don't get it. They don't understand minor league baseball. Because, you know, there are three things that you can do to determine what kind of year, Jeff, you're going to have in minor league baseball. One's the weather. Well, we know we can't do anything about that. Two is the kind of team you have. You don't have to win every game. Just make sure you don't lose every game. That's in the hands of Major League Baseball. They give us our players. The third is everything else. How do you run your ballpark? Are there smiles? Is there, you know, cold drinks and hot dogs? Is it pleasant? Is it clean? And those are the things we can control. So when you operate in that third segment, you know, you have to maximize your ability to entertain your fans. You know, half the fans that come to the game really don't know who won or lost, Jeff. And this is anecdotal, but there is some supporting analytical data to get close to what I'm going to tell you. 75% don't know who the affiliate is. 85% don't know who the visiting team affiliate is. 98.9% know they had a good time and they're coming back. And so, you know, our obligation is, one, to not tax these young players. You know, the science of player development is so advanced. I've been at this 35 years, and it blows me away how far it's advanced into the medical, into the analytical, into the mechanical, and the investment is significant. So it doesn't fall on a deaf ear when there is concern about playing players out of position, pushing pitchers beyond limits, you know, playing games at extended lengths of time. I had one fan write me and says, for the last 10 years, I've seen every last pitch of my hometown team every game, the last pitch. And I said, well, you're still going to be able to. We're not talking about ties. We're not talking about changing the outcome. We're just doing some things consistent with what we think the player development and the fan desires lead us to.
Pat, did you find that some of the, you know, the older leagues, I mean, the leagues that have been around forever, and, you know, and one of the things people need to realize, I mean, the most minor leagues, and there's a deep history to a lot of these leagues. Were there any leagues or any levels in particular that were less inclined to support this idea? I mean, was there more pushback from Double A than Triple A, or Single A than Double A?
You know, there was a spattering of pushback. We had one AAA league that was probably, you know, more entrenched in a traditional position, and I understood it, and I've dealt with this league for the 25 years I've been in the central office. They came around to the economic argument. They came around to the partnership. It was not a one ballot, you know, process.
Yep.
I mean, we talked to some people. We had to answer some questions. We had to, you know, prepare some white papers to explain why we're doing this. You know, this wasn't something that last week somebody brought this to us and said, hey, you know, this seems like a neat idea. We've been talking about this for 18 months. And in fact, Jeff, and I'm not sure you or your listeners are aware, in our complex and foreign rookie leagues, we did this last year.
Okay.
And the average extra inning game in minor league baseball outside of those leagues that use this rule was 47 minutes. In those leagues, it was 27 minutes.
Hmm.
Now, don't take that analytic to the extreme, because you're talking about rookie players at the lower levels using the rule. But, you know, just like with the pitch clock, and I think that the pitch clock is a psychological for fans and traditionalists like probably you and I, Jeff.
Mm-hmm.
Pitchers are not rushed. Hitters are not rushed. This is a conscious effort to ask these players to think pace. Not rush, but think pace. 15 seconds with no runners on, I promise you, unless there are extraordinary circumstances, no pitcher should feel rushed. Because when you read the rule and the guidelines, you know, he has to be in the dirt circle. He has to be in a position to pitch. It's not like, you know, there's an out and you got 15 seconds to throw the next pitch, so you don't do around the horn because you don't have time.
Right.
That's not the case at all. You know, these pitchers are pitching in 12 to 14 seconds. What you find is it takes up some of the dead space. And you're also finding, Jeff, if you talk to position players, they're not, you know, as a position player, maybe not a hitter, they're not opposed to the time clock because it keeps them on their toes. It keeps the game moving. There aren't these long periods where they're standing around and waiting. 20 seconds with runners on is still, you know, when you look at it, We had 20 seconds all along. The pitchers have adjusted over the last 2 years, so there's no change in that.
Mm-hmm.
We've had a 15-second clock in the Florida State League for 2 years now, and these are young pitchers. No pushback whatsoever.
You haven't had, there hasn't been an increase in arm injuries or anything like that, which is what I would be concerned about.
Yeah, you know, now, yesterday that was posed to me, and I will be very honest with you. The players are not employees of ours, but
right.
I have to take on face value that Major League Baseball, who does employ these players,
mm-hmm.
has checked out all of that data.
Sure.
And I don't think that Major League Baseball would have entered into an agreement or a conversation with us about doing this if they felt there was inherent harm.
Well, I have to tell
and maybe...
I was going to say, I've spoken to a couple of pitchers in the Blue Jays camp who came up with the pitch clock, and you know, I have not heard. I'll be honest here, Pat. I haven't heard anybody say anything bad about it. You know, you know what I get from a lot of guys? Yeah, I kind of didn't really notice it, to be honest.
Well, you know, when they came out 2 years ago, Jeff, you know, I got bombed. You know, between social media and people that. You know, I will say this, and your listeners are free to write to me. If you can find my email and send me an email, I respond to you. And I had a handful of people that say, you know, this is terrible, this pitch. And I said, please do me a favor. Wait till the second or third homestand.
Mm-hmm.
And let me know if you still see the clock. Extended netting, Jeff. This is the greatest thing that we've done in years for our fans, and people are screaming about the netting. This netting today is so scientific that give it two homestands. You'll look right through it. You won't even recognize it. The time clocks have faded to black.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're noise. They're background noise. You know, people were concerned the fans are going to start chanting 5, 4, 3, 2. Doesn't happen. It just doesn't happen. And it's allowing the game to move. And look, I mean, I'm not proclaiming, you know, wisdom and supreme, you know, knowledge above all. This is something that needed to be addressed, and this is one opportunity to address it in this way. It's not etched in stone. It, you know, the time clock and the pace of play rules have been tinkered with every year. We're not trying to be punitive to pitchers or hitters. That's not the intent. The intent is to move the pace of the game because, Jeff, this world we live in between handhelds and microwaves and all of this, it is a microwave society. They want things quickly. You have to move. You know, we have to use this technology to engage our fans and not have them not coming because we're not chic, we're not hip, we're not up to date on what's happening with our demographic. Minor League Baseball is there for the fans in Major League Baseball. And we have great respect for the game itself. But without fans and without the support of Major League Baseball, you know, we have a very difficult road. We have a different business model. And we're trying to be responsive, not punitive, to either one of those groups.
Pat, I got to tell you, it's one of the most enlightening discussions I've had with a baseball person. You've got me thinking in a different way, and I'm sure you've got some of our listeners thinking in a different way. As a matter of fact, just going on social media, a couple of other people have said, hard to argue with those points. So I appreciate you doing this.
Well, I thank you, and I thank you for listening. And as I led with, 18 months ago, you and I would have had a great conversation, you know, picking at these ideas. And I asked the fans, just give it a try. Just try it and see, and you know, maybe you'll stick around, Jeff, for the 10th inning of a minor league game next year or this coming year.
I appreciate it.
You never know.
I may be
all
doing
right,
that. Thanks, Pat. Take care.
All right, Jeff.
All
Anytime.
Right.
Thank you.